知らないよ。
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Comic Book Queer's Legacy, Episode 7. I am Brett, and I'm here with my co-host, Jeff.
Hi.
Hi.
Has it really been 7 episodes
it's
already?
Yeah, 7 episodes.
Wow. It seems like 100.
It's, no, just it's like so many more. So many more. So I have to start by asking you this, Evil Jeff. And if the answer is no, then the answer is no. Did you read Iceman yet?
Yes, I did read Iceman, what and we need to think? Talk about it.
What did you think
first
about
of all, I think, okay, this is one I'm finding a trend in Marvel Comics, is I don't think these writers read any other, like, Marvel comic. Because if the person who wrote Iceman did, he would have seen that young Iceman had almost the identical plot line of his first kiss with a guy.
Mm-hmm.
They went to a gay bar. The guy comes up to him and then, like, hits on him. They go dancing. All of his superhero friends are watching on. And then I was like, this literally is exactly what happened to young Bobby Drake a few months ago.
But wait, isn't that what happens to all of us? Isn't that how we've all met our spouse or boyfriend or significant other, by going to a gay bar?
Okay, we're going to pause really quick. What was your first kiss?
It was in a gay bar.
Your kiss was in a gay bar?
My first kiss was in a gay bar, yeah.
In a gay bar, and were you on the dance floor, and you were all like,
yes.
What's happening?
Yes. That's exactly okay. What happened to me.
My first kiss, I was with a boy. I was 8 years old, and he was 35. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was another 8-year-old. it's like, and then it got really dark. No, he was another 8-year-old, and we were playing Dukes of Hazzard. And I was Luke and he was Beau. And then we would each take turns being Daisy Duke and we would make out with each other.
What?
Yeah.
You're so
I started
lucky.
Early. I started early. But for me,
like
I guess but that's the thing is like, I feel like if one Bobby Drake has a gay bar dancing kiss scene,
right.
Maybe the next one shouldn't be.
Right,
I think it would have been much more interesting if Dakin was his first kiss. That would have been confusing and weird. And this one, it was just so cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not address at all the bisexuality of Hercules.
Well, I think that's been written away. I think Big Marvel was like, no more bisexuals.
Oh, but Brett, real quick, I guess for people who have not read Iceman, can you give like a quick recap of like what happened?
It's their Marvel Legacy story. I think it's called Champions Reunited. And Black Widow died in Secret Empire. So her former team, the Champions, which were Iceman, Angel, Hercules, Ghost Rider, Black Widow, and Darkstar, makes absolute zero sense. No sense at all. In fact, I think there was a line in a comic this week that was like, oh, look, it's Hercules, Ghost Star, Black Widow, Angel, and Iceman behind you. They don't make any sense together. And it worked. The villain looked behind them. I forget what book that was in. But it was a good bit. So it's those people. They're all at a bar in L.A. I guess it was their bar, their haunt. And they're mourning the loss of Black Widow, the loss of Natasha Romanoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then Iceman walks by a shoe store. And they established that every place in LA has a long line. So there was a long line outside the shoe store.
To get shoes. Because there's no such thing as online shopping in LA.
Right. So they started talking. And so they didn't meet in a gay bar. I'm having that realization right now. They met on the sidewalk, which is actually how I met my husband. And it's how I met your mother.
Oh. Very good.
But it is actually how I met my husband. So in typical Brett Manis fashion, Bobby Drake walks by a shoe store and there's this hot guy and they start talking and they decide to go out together. So
he forces all the other superheroes, even though they're supposed to be mourning.
Right.
He forces all of them to
group
come
text.
To the gay bar with him.
Them group text.
Yeah.
And they go, and they're his wingmen. And I think they say the word wingmen in this book like 80 goddamn times. It's a word I've never said as a gay man. So they go, and Hercules and all them, they're his wingmen. And then they just like they both bring their friends as just basically like door buddies. They leave their friends and then they dance and they kiss. And
but then fake movie prop sentinels attack.
Then fake movie prop sentinels attack, which actually galvanizes the return of the champions. Here's what I hope. I hope that the guy that Bobby's new boyfriend, Judah, his new first date, dies under the boot of a sentinel.
I hope he doesn't die. I hope he's just being ravaged by hepatitis C. And then... And then Bobby has it, and then his water, like, and so when he's all water, it has like a big yellow tinge to it because of the jaundice.
And then it's somehow
like really embarrassing.
But young Bobby Drake somehow starts to get it, and they start to, with more weird time stuff.
Yeah. I'm just annoyed. And I guess for you, because you said your first kiss was in a gay bar. When you were in that gay bar, were you like, did you need to have friends with you? Were you like, I don't know about all this. Oh, can we take it slow? Because when I first thing, I was like, let's do this. I want something to happen now.
I dove in. I dove in hard. I left out of the closet. Oh, my God.
He's such a pussy. It's just annoying me.
I know.
Although he was about to go home with them. That I did like. He was like, all right, let's go fuck. Like, we're going to go fuck.
Yeah. For sure. But it is, doesn't it seem like, I don't know, the writing, it is a little 101, right? Like, it's a little vanilla.
Know what it is? It's written for straight people.
Yeah, this, but it's written by a gay man.
Yeah, but it's written for straight people to like, be like, educated. Gay people are okay.
Aren't gay people normal? Normal!
Yeah. I'm just, it's just very, it's kind of condescending and patronizing.
A little bit.
Who gives a shit about Darkstar?
Seriously, I thought she was dead.
I thought she was dead too. Didn't she die? Wait, wasn't she in the, what's the guy who did that run of Captain Britain MI6?
Ooh, Fred Van Lente? I think I'm right.
Didn't she die in that? Didn't she like become a vampire at one point and then die?
She died in Morrison's X-Men. But then I looked it up. There was a whole storyline, and she didn't die, and then she died, but then she came back to life. And it's all the dark
stuff.
It's all because of the dark stuff.
Okay. Well, so someone did die. Are we done talking about this yet?
Oh, wait. Is there one more thing we want to say about Iceman? It's that – oh, no. You said it before. Let's get some weird sadomasochistic relationship going on with Dakin. Like, let's make this interesting.
Okay, if anyone knows anything about how sexuality works, and I do, when you repress something for that long, weird kinky shit comes out.
Yeah, it comes out. Like, in some if he's dirty, been repressing,
yeah, he has some really dirty, dirty kinks, some ice kinks, and I want to see what they are. So bring it if you're listening, which I know he's not.
Okay, we're done talking about Iceman. Congratulations on your first kiss, Bobby Drake.
Yay.
And
in his last thing, he said it was Great Malkin. So.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I think he was wrong or lying. Or the book is lying, in fact. I think the book is lying. But also, can I just talk about this for a second? At New York Comic Con, all those comic book shop retailers, like, going crazy at the Marvel Q&A with retailers and just starting throwing around the word homo. Like, you're going to make Captain America black. You're going to make Iceman a homo. What is Iceman? You're going to make Thor a woman. What does Iceman have to kiss other guys for? Like, fuck you, because it's a good story. It's somebody going through something that's real out there, you stupid fetch.
Yeah, you know what? The other thing that all those gamers and those crazy fan trolls say, too, do you know what they call trans women?
What?
Traps.
Why?
Like, there was an interview with someone where it's like, what do you think of traps? Like, do you think it's okay to kill a trap?
What?
And they were saying, like, because it's all about they feel that trans women are fooling you and trying to trick you into sleeping with them and not telling you that they're really were born a man.
What?
So they're trapping you. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my God. People are so disgusting.
I know. It's horrible.
If I was at that retailer Q&A, I would have been flipping out. I would have been snatching wigs left and right. Are you kidding me? You got to make Iceman a homo. Fuck you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there's, with the whole Weinstein thing, maybe there's going to be a tipping point. But probably not.
Probably not. And I still think of Harvey Fierstein every time I hear Harvey Weinstein.
He has been getting Twitter attacked. Can you imagine, like, oh my God, please leave me alone.
I would never even touch a woman, let alone do that to a woman.
Vaginas are disgusting.
They're disgusting.
That's just...
Why would I do that to a woman? I've got a daughter.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry, that was Matt Damon.
All right. But anyway... Let's move on to another X-Men book that I have to talk about that I actually was like, I'm all in now. It's weird how you can do one thing.
One move, one thing, one tweet.
And I'm literally like, now I like you again. So in X-Men Blue, there was a stupid story where Hank McCoy conjured up these different dimensional X-Men from a stupid version of Madeline Pryor. And in the end, Bloodstorm, the vampire Storm, was now on this earth and joined the Blue X-Men team. And I hated it. I hated it with a passion. And I was like, there's already too many of the same versions. Now there's two fucking Storms. And now there was a crossover event where they were playing baseball. And I was like, Bloodstorm, you go this way. Aurora, you go that way. And I hated it. But
Bloodstorm, you play shortstop.
I know. Anyway, but in this latest issue, Bloodstorm bites it. She dies.
Bitch turned to dust.
She turns to dust.
She was on the team.
So brilliant. They're like, she's on the team. And the next fucking issue, she fucking dies. She was redshirted. She's a Star Trek redshirt. I love it.
I mean, it's so great that I fear it can't possibly stick. Like, I fear that it's going to be some bullshit illusion and she's like in a chamber somewhere in Mojo's headquarters.
If she comes back, I'm joining Al-Qaeda. I can't handle it anymore.
They killed her exactly the same way they killed... She was in the Days of Future Past world, and they killed her the same way Storm dies in that world, which
with
is also
with the harpoon
great.
Through her chest. And then, I guess, was that harpoon wooden?
Oh, see, she's not dead. She's not dead. She teleported away or some crap. There's no way she's dead.
Please be dead.
That would be so great.
Yes. And that's the thing with, like, no, there's no stakes anymore. No one, it's not important if anyone dies. No one cares because Marvel will just bring them back a few issues later.
They should kill her off. And then late in like 5 issues or 12 issues, there should be a line where young Bobby goes, hey, remember when Bloodstorm was on our team?
And then everyone turns at the same time and it'll be a bubble with all of the arrows pointing to everyone. And they all go, no.
What else happened in that book? X-Men Blue 13, Mojo Worldwide, Part 2.
I can't remember.
I was so jazzed by that. Nothing really of consequence that I... No, one thing.
Oh, wait, that's right. Longshot.
Longshot.
Longshot shows up.
Longshot showed up. What a page turn. I love me a good page turn.
Yes.
What a page turn that was. I did not...
That means...
Like, I just forgot about him.
But when Longshot shows up, I am them like, where is Shatterstar and Richter and Dazzler?
Yeah, we're getting...
I want them too. Because the last we saw of Richter and Shatterstar, weren't they still in the Mojo world creating Longshot?
Yeah.
Because Shatterstar and Longshot are each other's fathers.
Yes. And
which is amazing.
Sons. So great.
Yes.
That's the only way to explain... All this stuff that had built up to it, the only way to explain it was with nonsense and just committed to nonsense.
And I just feel bad. I love Peter David. He's one of my favorite comic book writers. But the only thing they gave him is the Spider-Man 2099. And I don't like it.
Yeah.
Is that really the
only thing he's writing right now?
I think so. Give him back a Hulk. Give him the awesome Hulk.
Give him X Factor.
He X Factor. Well, there is no X Factor. They canceled it. They're not going to give it to him again.
Who cares?
Ugh, it's depressing me. Who would be on the team?
Who would be on a new X Factor? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Nobody. They're all taken.
But that's what Havoc is evil now. So that's kind of an interesting thing. And no offense, but people are not addressing that Madrox is not dead.
Yeah, I don't think anyone needs to address
no,
that.
No, because but also it is like he literally has the preacher version of him is still alive.
Yeah, and there's probably
he lives somewhere else.
There's probably several others.
So that would be a great story. That would be great. And can I just say, I loved Peter David's other X Factor, and I wish that was longer with Cypher and Warlock and Danger and their weird love triangle. Did you read all of that? Yeah.
Was that Quicksilver and Gambit and Polaris?
Yes.
I never read it.
Awesome. And then Danger was like, I want to have sex. Hey, Lorna, do you want to have sex with me? And she's like, what? No.
What?
Like, and the way he wrote it was just so weird. And then Warlock is trying to fuck Danger because he's like, we're both robot people. And then she fucks Cypher. And then Warlock is, you're my fucking best friend. And you just fucked Danger. I was like, they're really doing a love triangle with two fucking robots and Cypher who reads ones and zeros. Like, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. I loved it.
Why did I know about this?
You didn't read any of it?
No.
You need to read that run. It got canceled after only like 13 issues, but it's awesome. Oh God, like, they're fucking. Bitch. Cypher fucked Danger. Doug Ramsey fucked Danger.
Is he alive? What's going on?
Or Danger fucked him. Yeah, Doug Ramsey's alive.
He is?
Yeah.
How?
He was in the New Mutants.
He was? He was so cool. He was like
and
the
Necrotia. He was brought to life in Necrotia and then was joined the New Mutants. And then he's been alive ever since.
Put him in the New X Factor.
Who cares? Yep. I'm like the SNL imitation of Fred Armisen's Joy Behar. Who cares? Put him in a book. I don't care. Pick him up.
Put him in a book. Get multiple men. Put him in a book with who cares?
Who cares? I don't care. Then have a kill in the Cypher? First episode.
Put him in a book with Cypher. Who cares? X Factor written by Joy Behar.
Oh my God, I actually watch The View sometimes. We're totally going way off topic, but I don't care. And because Meghan McCain just joined, so I had to watch that crazy shit show. I want to see fights between Meghan McCain and Joy Behar. I love her calling her Behar, like, but it's Behar. I did that.
She was asked to replace Bette Midler in Hello Dolly on Broadway because she just looks and acts kind of like her.
Yeah, and the whole thing, she just walks in like, hello, Dolly. Who cares? Whatever. Big whoop. I'm not Bette Midler.
She's like, I never did a musical before. I've never been in a musical.
Who cares?
I'm not going to go to Broadway.
Cares? Whatever. Oh, with Trump. Trump.
Ugh, what a bastard he is. Anything else? No, we got Longshot back. Yay.
Yes. Is there any other fun? There is another X book I read, not X book, another Marvel book I read, but I'm going to save it for when we, in our next episode, we're going to talk about trailers because it goes with one of the trailers that we saw.
But, excellent. Really quick.
Yeah.
TV, since we're still on X-Men, just want to mention second episode of The Gifted.
Awesome.
We have green hair.
We have green fucking hair. Who was that? Who do you think white
Gray
woman
Malkin.
Is?
It's Gray Malkin.
It's Gray Malkin. Because for a second from far away, I thought she was shiny, so I thought it was going to be Bling, the lesbian diamond-faced girl.
She looks more scaly.
But then when it was close up, she was more scaly and weird. Yeah. But I love it all. They fucking kicked her baby. I'm like, she's going to get some revenge. And then when she flew, she used her powers anyway and flung her up against the fence. I loved all of it.
She's fucking
tough. Amy Acker. Thank God Amy Acker's back on TV.
And she's doing, like, she's not just a background character, which I was afraid of.
Although I want her to have powers. I wish she had powers.
Yeah. Well, maybe she'll
maybe
find,
that's
armor.
Like a weird thing that like maybe that's why they have powers because she's a mutant too and she's been holding it back. She has like secret mutant nursing powers.
Like Cecilia Reyes. All right. We'll save her for next episode.
Okay.
So I read some Wolverine stuff.
Oh, okay.
Weapon X 9.
I did read that.
The Search for Weapon H Part 3. Meh, who cares?
I do the what were they call him? Hulk Vereen is the bad guy. Shoot. It sounds like Ben Vereen.
Like Ben Vereen. And
they should add that, be like, here's Wolverine, Wolverine 2, and Ben Vereen.
Yeah, and it'll be Ben Vereen from his Coke days, climbing the curtains in Pippin. Then I also read All New Wolverine 25. Orphans.
What
of
is going on with that? Like, I have no idea what's the main thing going on with the new Wolverine.
Her legacy story. This is her legacy story. Is Dakin is kidnapped and she finds his left arm hanging from a bridge, as like a come get him, motherfucker. Kind
now,
of.
Now will
sign.
His arm just grow back?
Yeah, that's why it's not a big deal.
Okay,
but okay. Here's will his tattoos?
Ooh.
There you go. If you continue to draw him with tattoos, Marvel, I'm going to write you.
What a great way to do tattoo removal. Just need super healing powers.
What a great way to get a no prize is to just wait for an artist to draw Dakin with tattoos.
Prizes. Do they still do that?
I think so. I got one when I was a kid, and I will never remember what for.
Oh, I was about to be like, what for?
I will never remember. It was something. It was definitely something I noticed in X-Men. Like, it was a contradiction.
I was an X-Men. I tried to do one, and thank God I didn't send it in because it was anti-Semitic. I wanted to do a no prize of why Kitty Pryde did not have more Jewish-sounding last name. And then my no prize was that it was only the mother was Jewish and the dad really wasn't Jewish.
What?
Because apparently I didn't think Pryde could be a Jewish last name.
What?
Like, why isn't she Kitty Epstein? Isn't that horrible?
Oh my!
I was like 11, and because I was like, I want a no prize, and I was
I mean, you know, you think certain things.
This will get me one. Thank
ways.
God. Ugh.
Oh my God! Jesus, Richard.
For you
Spencer.
Kids out there that don't know what a no prize is, back in the days when you wrote letters to the X-Men and other Marvel things, you would get a no prize if you could find a flaw. Like an incontinuity in the plot line, and then you would be like, but this is why it's okay, and you could fix it, right?
Well, I don't think you even have to I don't think you had to give an explanation. Maybe you did.
No, you did. That's you why did. It's called a no prize, because you also would not only find the thing wrong, but then you would explain away why it's okay.
Right. And the no prize was just an empty envelope.
So you were in the letters section of a Marvel book.
I don't know if I was in the letter section, but I did get a response back. I don't think I was ever in the letter section of a book. No,
I was in the letter section.
Oh, yeah. I just wrote in and got a no prize back.
I was in the letter section of Excalibur 50. No, of Excalibur 57, 58.
Are you fucking kidding me? We can order that shit on Comixology like right now.
And I can't remember exactly which one it is, but it's the one where Rachel is dressed as the Phoenix. It's just her on the cover as the Phoenix, and it's kind of like referencing the old like Mad Dark Phoenix, where she's like rah.
Yeah, wow.
And it's like it's the return of Rachel Summers when she comes back. When she returns, anyway, if you read it, I was 16 when I wrote this letter. If you read it, it sounds like a 7-year-old wrote it.
I'm so excited.
Because back then, they not only said, actually, what we will do is at some point in a later episode, I will read the letter.
Oh, God bless. Yes.
Because I do know I ended, because they would always be like, make mine Marvel.
Yeah.
And I went, make mine Marvel. No, wait. Make mine Excalibur. Like, that's how I ended my life.
Oh, my God.
That what a fucking faggot.
There's no punish structure to that. It doesn't
It's terrible.
It's like a
and
Mike
I do
Huckabee
remember
joke.
I wasn't allowed to read my comics until like way after dinner, and I did not.
What?
They came in the mail, so I was reading them late at night, so everyone was asleep. I'm reading my Excalibur. I get to the letter section. I see my letter with my name my address.
Get
my
out.
Address is in there.
Get out.
This is very dangerous.
Oh, yeah, different times.
And I screamed bloody murder at the top of my lungs. Where then everyone came running into my room. And then I was just like, I'm in a comic. And I was grounded for like 2 weeks.
You were grounded. And then your anti-Semitic parents made you read every comic in that
oh
room.
Oh, my God. I would be like way too many embarrassing things about myself.
Oh, wow.
All right. Are we done with Marvel?
Yeah, I think so. But I want to say this about All New Wolverine 25. Evidently, she's got a sidekick, and it's a younger version of her.
What?
Yeah, she's got like a little girl, basically the movie version. Yeah.
Like, so like they cloned some. It's another clone of her.
She's like, it's like a clone of a clone.
So there's two versions of her. So there's now six. Yeah. There's seven Wolverines now.
Yeah, and I don't know if she, the little one, has got a name or something. Oh my God. It's probably
now,
Jill.
I will say.
Something.
On the plus side, at least there's a reasonable plot explanation of how this could happen.
Yeah.
Because she's a clone. But that's the frosted side. But on the healthy side of the frosted mini wheat,
uh-huh.
No, stop it. Stop it. There's too stop many. It.
It's like multiplicity. Like one of them's going to be slow at the end.
Do you know who the slowest person in multiplicity was? Who? Andy McDowell. All right. Deep cut, guys. People, I know our references are so skewed. They're we're so, so fucking old. Oh, like, young God. Kids are listening, being like, what are they talking about? Michael Keaton, Multiplicity, look it up.
Remember Disco? Okay, moving on.
Okay, did you read a DC book? Because we're at the new segment, our new segment called Ew. I read a DC book.
Ew. Yes, ew. I read a DC book. And it was phenomenal.
Yeah, that's right. Because Brett and I are Marvel lovers. And so we're trying to expand our horizons. And every week we're reading a DC book. So what did you read this week, Brett?
I read Mr. Miracle number 3.
Mr. Miracle number 3. You know what? I did not. I want to read that one because I read 1 and 2 on your recommendations and I loved it. Although I was very confused about what was going on. And the S&M grandma creeped me out.
Yes.
But what happened in 3? What happened in 3?
I remember everything was kind of like in 9 panels again per page, and that seems very isolating and trapping. I think I don't remember. I honestly don't remember what happened.
But were you on any drugs when
I think
you read
I was
this book?
Pretty stoned when I, because I think I was like, ooh, I'm about to read Mr. Miracle. Let me get pretty stoned. And it was pretty late. I probably had a bottle of wine in me too, because I drink a bottle a night.
Okay.
So I think like I was on a lot of drugs and I had a lot of booze in me. And I read it and I remember feeling that same great feeling and be like, this is great. I don't
But it's
remember.
Gone.
It's gone. It's really gone. Yeah. I remember there was like another Forager, I guess, is another new god. He was on his couch. I remember that. The other thing is I'm also reading.
So what you remember is there were 9 panels per page and a guy was on a couch.
Yeah. But it was really good. But it was really good. It was really good. I remember that. And I don't remember much. I am also reading the new David Wong book, the John Dies at the End, Part 3, essentially. And it's so similar in feeling that details of, like, I think I remember something in
You're
Mr.
Mixing
Miracle,
them up.
But no, it's from John Dies at the End, Part 3.
Wait, so, John Dies at the End is a comic book? I thought that was just a movie.
No, it's a novel. It's a series of novels. I'm reading the
book.
Oh,
you're reading a book?
A book.
Like you're reading,
reading
a book
two
without
fucking
pictures?
Books. Ugh. I'm reading no, I'm that, and I'm reading the.
That's
yeah,
great.
I'm reading
I
the
will
Secret
say
History.
I read so much comics. I haven't read like a real book in a long time because I keep reading
oh my God,
comics.
I cannot put this book down.
Do you read like paper books or do you use like a Kindle?
Paper.
Old school.
Paper, and I take them in my backpack wherever I go, so I can just sit down and read one for 5 minutes.
Because once I got my iPad, I got the Kindle Unlimited on my iPad, and then I started reading a lot of real books. But it slowly got more and more embarrassing of what I started reading. I went from reading like, ooh, this great book, this book that's like on the bestsellers list, this book that, you know, is a great sci-fi. Then it just got to, oh, here's a book about an erotic sexual relationship between 3 cowboys. And suddenly I was basically just reading female written gay erotica.
Wow.
And, but now I'm back to just comic books. So I don't know if it's an improvement or not.
Do a lot of women write gay erotica? I bet they
almost do. Almost all of it is written by women.
Really?
And it's fucking fucked up because they like to have that dynamic where there's a more feminine passive one and then a more, and it's, oh, and it's all about the ones. There's one series called A Little Bit, and then each one is like a little bit twisted, a little bit messed up, a little bit confused. Mm-hmm. And it's all just straight, like a straight man suddenly realizing he's gay when he has sex with one guy for the first time. And I love it. It's so unrealistic because it's not how gay sexuality works, but it's hot. Right. Anyway, DC books.
DC books. So that's Mr. Miracle number three. I feel like I'm...
How many ewes are you going to give it? It's just ew, but every ew you have to give has to have a question mark because you don't remember anything.
Ew? Dark Side is.
Awesome. I read... three DC books.
Fuck.
I know. And I remember them. So I have you beat today, Brett.
Let me hear it.
Okay. First of all, and this one I won't talk too much about, I just read the next Action Comics. And even for someone who hates it, I keep being like, what happens next? With Mr. Oz.
Yeah.
And this one, he finally flies to Lois Lane and his son and kind of confronts them. And that's pretty much all I'm... That's pretty much the only thing that happens. Oh, wait, no. There's also... There's a guy who hates fake news, like a like a Trump supporter. And he comes in with a bomb attached and decides to blow up the newspaper. What is it? The Daily Planet. He decides to blow up the Daily Planet because it's fake
topical
news. Yeah. Yeah, but it's done so badly that in the end, you're like on the side of Trump by the end of it because you're like, I'm just going to vote for Trump. This is so bad. So that one I give, ew. It was pretty bad. It's not like literally, it's just him walking and him recapping to Lois Lane what he told Superman in the previous episode. Issue. We always mix up the words issue and episode.
I know. And isn't Amy Adams so bad at being Lois Lane? All right, we'll save that for next episode. Save it.
Okay. Anyway, the next one I decided to read was Green Lantern, because why not? The Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah. How are they doing? Flying around up there.
You know what is really, it's really fun going into this. Like, I don't know anything. Like, I know that for a while there were black lanterns that were like zombies. And then there's like red lanterns that I think are like bad guys. And then there were like yellow lanterns where they're, I don't know.
Yeah, they're creatures. The red are the creatures of rage. And the yellow, I believe that's, you know, the fear people. You've got your orange greed people. Yeah, there's a whole thing.
But I don't know any of it. And basically the opening was there's a thing going on at Earth and all the Green Lanterns are all fighting over who gets to go. And what's the black Green Lantern's name?
It is John Stewart.
John Stewart is like, he seemed to me like the main leader because he was the one deciding who gets to go. And these other lanterns, which were all like catty little bitches, are like, oh my God, I want to go because I need some beer. And the other one's like, no, like I want to go to Earth. And then Hal Jordan's just like leaning against a computer, like with his arms folded, like, I think we all know I need to go. And then they're like, all right, Hal, you need to go. And I'm like, am I missing something? This is weird. I didn't get the whole like power dynamic or whatever. He goes to Earth and then he sees Superman. And then apparently Superman, there's like some weird being called I'm mixing up the next thing I read. He was basically possessed by some sort of phantom thing. But then it turns out in the end, Superman isn't possessed by the phantom. It was actually all in Hal Jordan's head. And he's actually being called by, one of the yellow lanterns. What's the one that has that weird big head?
Sinestro,
yes. So in the end, Sinestro's in his head calling to him and making him think all these weird things. And then him and Superman were just hanging out. So I almost feel like I can't give this any ooze because I literally was like, I don't have any idea what's going on. I wish they did what the Marvel did and put a fucking primer in the first page. So you get kind of like a recap.
I guess they don't want new readers, huh, DC Comics?
Yeah, fuck you. So that one, I'll just give it like an ew. Because I'm just middle of the road.
Sure.
And then the last one I read. Oh, big whoop. Who cares? The last one I read was Metal. That new Metal.
What is that?
Well, it wasn't until halfway through reading it that I realized it was Metal number 3.
Oh.
So I was like so confused, and I'm like, this is really confusing. I literally missed the first two. So not only do I not know any of the DC characters, I also didn't read like the whole opening.
What a stupid bitch. So you read the DC thing with the man who laughs, right? Weren't you telling me about that?
I read the joke and riddles, okay. Batman
so
Rebirth.
What, from my understanding, from what I've seen, Metal looks like, I'll say it, Fear Itself. There, I said it.
Is it Fear Itself? They're talking about this weird dark dimension of darkness. Okay. So, I mean, that would all make right. sense. Right. And it seems like the only thing that can hurt, because it looks like this otherworldly darkness versions of Batman have come out of this darkness and have just taken over Earth. And they trapped Superman and Wonder Woman, and they were in their minds having all these battles, but they just kept having these futile battles in their minds. And finally they get out of it and escape, and they finally come to Earth, and it's only been like a week, but Earth is like just decimated. Mm. And all these weird Batman, like creepy Batman versions have taken over. And I will say all the different versions of the evil Batmans are like really cool. Like the drawings are really good. And they have like these slave Robins on like chains, like kind of like Rachel the Hound. Like those are all, that's all pretty cool.
Yeah, and don't they keep saying crow?
Yeah. They keep
that's
going,
cute.
Yeah.
I think that's cute.
And the reason it's called Metal is then they get escaped into this weird interdimensional bar where everyone's drinking, and they're like, this is the only place they can't find us yet, but I'm sure they're going to find us soon. And they realize that the only thing that can hurt these guys is this weird thing called Nth Metal. And the
it's
only
metal
people
to the nth degree.
Yeah. So the only people that have it is what's the guy with the helmet?
Mr.
The Golden Helmet. Oh fuck, what's
Dr.
his
Manhattan?
Name?
I mean no. The Guardian? The Manhattan Guardian? No.
No, he has a Mister in his name.
Mr.
He has like a
Terrific.
Golden helmet.
Mr. Miracle. Dr. Fate. Dr. Fate. Dr. Fate.
You're or is it Dr. Fate? I think it's Dr. Fate, yes.
You're totally talking about Dr. Fate.
Yes, and he has, his helmet is made of that. And then there's a guy with an egg, like a big egg.
Egghead?
Does that sound familiar? No, he has a big egg that he travels on like a spaceship.
Booster Gold?
No, he, fuck.
Metron?
Now I need to, I don't know what it is. He had an egg.
Adam Strange?
It was Sunny Side Up. And
what?
No, I'm just kidding about that. But anyway, no, I'm going to, while I'm talking, I'm going to try and look this up.
Okay.
But, and then the last one is, okay, there was a Superman looking guy who looked like he was made of ice.
Okay. I know who that, oh, yeah.
Who's that? Who the fuck is that?
Something like an Adam, Captain Adam.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that, maybe.
I want to say Captain. Oh God, DC fans are just writhing with agony right now.
I know. Well, here I'm going to look it up because I'm opening. I'm going through the pages of the comic now. And
I say Captain Atom. I say Dr. Fate, and I say Booster Gold. I say Booster Gold. I don't know.
Okay, it's not Booster Gold. I do know that much. But anyway, so they basically have to split into groups. And the other thing is like the main bad guy is named Barbados, which is like a lovely vacation destination.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't feel very scary. So they're always like, where is Barbados? And I want to be like, isn't it in the Caribbean? right? Isn't like,
it? Why are you stressed out? Do you need a vacation? Here's lovely.
So the whole thing, like, we need to get to Barbados. I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait, it's a bad guy. So it's a dumb name for a bad guy, first of all. And then, so then Superman's like, wait, I need to go. I think in my dreams, Batman was coming to me and giving me clues. And this what? Is, I might be talking way too much about this, but apparently, and I don't know if this was in any other comics, but Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman have a code. And whenever they send, like, if Superman's in trouble, he sends out the code BD. Which is Bruce and Diana, come help me. That's whenever Superman's in trouble. So whenever Princess Diana is in trouble, she's – exactly. And so they say the words of – so he – so they said in the thing, in this one dream thing he had when he was in a battle, the version of Bruce says to him, carpe diem. And he's like, he's saying carpe diem.
Yeah.
So he's saying CD, he's calling me. So we need to go to this dark dimension where Batman was sucked so we can save him. So in the end, he goes to the dark dimension, and then Batman's like, what are you doing? I warned you to not come. And he's like, what are you talking about? You said carpe diem. And he's like, no, but on the guitar we were playing, it was the notes D and C, which is the reverse of it. So that was my call for you to stay away. And I was like, really? That's dumb.
You're going to count on Superman to get that? He's an idiot.
So in the end, Superman was sucked into the dark dimension, and now they're using him as a battery to, like, end the entire universe. So it was, a big trap. But here I have who it is, and here it's Steel Superman?
Oh, yeah, Steel. They made a movie with Shaq.
So his hammer.
Are you kidding me? You don't know Steel? His big old hammer?
No, I don't. And Steel? then it's Dr. Fate.
Yeah, he's great. Dr. Fate. He's super great.
And then who is this guy? And then
it's Captain Adam.
And then and the Plastic Man egg.
Oh, the egg is Plastic Man. Does it look like his costume?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that before. He's probably a secret weapon.
Yeah, so they're saying he's has that metal in him.
Plastic Man is so dope. I love him. You know what? I'm going to be him for Halloween. I just decided. I'm not going to shave my beard, though, but I'm totally going to be Plastic Man.
I was Plastic Man for Halloween.
You were?
Yeah. Do you know when?
Halloween?
At the age of 3.
What? You were Plastic Baby?
I was Plastic Man, and it was back when, I don't know if y'all remember
the old TV
this,
show.
But they made these, there was an old Plastic Man TV show in the 70s, and it was like Plastic Man with Goldie Gold and Action Jack.
Yep.
Were his sidekicks. And back then, when you went to the Kmart to buy a Halloween costume, it would be one of those cheap, scary masks that had the rubber band in the back to hold it in place. And then there would be a poncho you would wear with just a picture of who you were.
Yeah, what?
So I had pictures of me when I was 3. So I had the picture of me with just the Plastic Man mask and then the poncho with just the actual image of Plastic Man on it.
You weren't Plastic Man. You were a Plastic Man fanboy that somehow doctored his own face to look like Plastic Man.
Exactly. Anyway, so metal, the drawings are good. It seems interesting, but I had no idea what was going on. And that whole thing where, oh no, I played the notes to come back, that gave it 4 ooze.
Oh, 4?
Yeah, because that thing alone was so stupid. Like, that's your twist.
Yeah,
I'm supposed to recognize music
that's
chords.
That's so dumb. Because then why would he say carpe diem? Oh, just to confuse it. It's not like you're dealing with another detective, Bruce.
Yeah.
You're dealing with a dumb alien whose father told him to stay in the closet.
Shit. Okay. All right. So there we go. Ew, I read a DC book.
Ew.
Ew. Let's talk. Let's keep the conversation going.
Yeah, we sure have talked about a lot of comics so far over 7 episodes.
And I think, and here, I'm just going to throw some different scenarios out. The first thing I want to ask, because we did talk about, like, what would our X Factor thing be? I want to ask you, if you could recreate, or you could, like, if comic books could start, if the X-Men universe could start over, which X-Men run would you want it to be? They tried to do, like, Blue and Gold, but it's not the same roster. I want you to pick, what was your favorite X-Men lineup?
Absolutely, hands down, number one answer, Australian Outback. Easy peasy.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's mine.
What is that?
That's what mine is. Is that yours? Is.
Oh, yes. Bish. I'm saying that's the best X-Men ever.
It's half women.
I think also it's partially because that's probably when you and I started reading them around then.
Yes.
Too, though, right?
And I think that has a lot to do with it. It's when I started reading it. But we had but I also feel looking back at it, it was so perfectly balanced.
Perfect. And drawn.
Mark Silvestri. Mark loved Silvestri. Him. And then it
so
was
great. They were so sexy.
Storm. Storm was the leader with Mohawk. Dazzler, Rogue, still with the split personality Carol Danvers. And Carol Danvers would sometimes take over.
Yep.
Dazzler.
Yep.
Longshot. Rogue, Dazzler, Longshot in like a romance.
Yeah. And Longshot.
Colossus.
Longshot was like a blank slate at the time. Like, it was like not the Longshot we have now. It's Longshot like, I'm discovering the world. Yeah. I'm just a little boy.
I love these egg periods and burnt pig skins.
Oh, remember that?
And they're like, it's bacon and eggs.
Oh, well,
he didn't say egg chicken periods. Or like, I love these fetuses. Bird periods. Fetuses. I'm sorry, I say bird periods because I watched this anti-vegan video where she just watches cooking shows on YouTube and puts a little corner of herself yelling at the people as they cook meat.
This sounds amazing.
It's kind of hilarious. And every time someone cracks an egg, she's like, you're eating bird periods.
Oh my God. She's insane.
Anyway, but then we have Colossus, Wolverine,
yep.
and Havoc, whose powers are kind of out of control.
Yep.
And he's still distraught because his girlfriend, Lorna Dane, has been taken over by Malice and is now the leader of the Marauders.
Yep. Oh, what a time.
And you have the strength of Colossus. You have Psylocke, who's the telepath. You have Storm as the badass leader.
And that was pre-ninja Psylocke.
Yes,
that was Psylocke, who just wanted to be a warrior.
Yeah, she had the old Dungeons and Dragons thief cape.
Yes, and the armor.
And the body armor. And one of my and that's when she was only psychic. That's all she did. And she was still like very prim and proper and demure.
She was pure butterfly at those times. Like, it was all about that butterfly.
And they were dead, and everyone thought they were dead.
Yeah, they died on camera during Fall of Mutants. God, that was the best. And then they took in Gateway.
Yes, and Gateway was their teleporter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a time. What a time to be alive.
And then I will also say one of the – and even though it's basically what ended that run, it was the way that roster ended
was
so awesome because it was each issue one by one, each X-Men. Dropped off. Storm was killed. Rogue was sucked into the siege peril. Mm-hmm. Like, they one by one. And so then it got to the point when they went to go save Lorna Dane. It was Psylocke, Rogue, Colossus, and Havoc.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, that was the X-Men. And I would say that was a fucking awesome
and
team of X-Men too.
Psylocke took over as leader.
Yes.
And there was
that
implications.
Was when I fucking loved her.
There were implications that she was mentally controlling them at times to just go along with the plan. Like,
well,
they escaped through the Siege Perilous.
In the end. Yeah. Well, in the end, Wolverine realized in his fever dream where he comes back.
The best issue of X-Men.
Which is an amazing issue.
Ever.
What was that? 248?
I wanted something like that. 246?
Yeah.
241. It was, oh my God. What an issue. And that's
when
he met Jubilee.
Fucking Jubilee meets him. Whatever. But anyway, and when Jubilee had the best costume, before she had her Robin costume, her costume was actually a combination. One sleeve was Rogue, one sleeve was Dazzler, one leg was Storm, and one leg was Betsy. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. And God.
And it was all – no, but in that fever dream, Wolverine does see that Psylocke mentally made them all go through the Siege Perilous.
Because she had the premonition of all their heads on spikes.
Of all them being murdered.
By the Reavers.
And that was the only one where she had like a glimpse – she had precog abilities, Which, does she ever have that anymore?
No. Oh. Rachel Summers does, though. Yawn.
Anyway. I love that we both had this best, the same X-Men roster. Oh,
what a team.
And I do think, because when I talk to other people, they're like, oh, I like the X-Men blue and gold because they're the closest to the X-Men cartoon.
And to
because
them,
that's
I say,
the first thing. That's the first thing they met the X-Men with.
Yeah, exactly. And to them I say, you're wrong and you don't understand nor like the X-Men. Yeah.
Although I will say, I convinced an ex-boyfriend to read, I told him to read the Dark Phoenix saga, and then he read it and got obsessed, and then just started reading every X-Men book. And he was reading everything, and then in the end, his favorite was the Outback version. Someone who, yes, I feel vindicated.
Hell yeah.
I want to ask you something else, though.
Okay.
We were talking about how we loved that run. What was the most shocking moment in any comic book run where you read it and you were like dumbfounded? You were like, I can't believe they did that. Either who they killed off or something. Well, I'm talking about Kitty Pryde says the N-word moment.
Right, right. Just jaw hit the floor.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's always going to be around a death. And... the most shocking deaths I remember, God, they're all going to be X-Men, is where Colossus committed suicide to cure the Legacy Virus.
Oh, the Legacy Virus?
Nobody saw that coming. Nightcrawler dying in the Hope Summers story, Messiah Complex? Yeah.
I felt there was a thing where it was like kind of leaked that he was going to die.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of like knew, but I was pissed.
Yeah. And I remember even like when Cypher died in the Fall of the Mutants.
Cypher is the most senseless, pointless death. That hit hard. That's a big one.
In fact, like that whole era, like from Mutant Massacre to Fall of the Mutants, I can't believe we're talking about the same era of the same book, but just Mutant Massacre, like that was kind of fucked up. Like that was really the first time that I had read kind of cold-blooded murder.
Yeah.
Just for being different in a book. And they dropped like flies. I mean, like Kitty taken out violently, Nightcrawler taken out violently, Colossus taken out violently. And then you go to the Fall of the Mutants and that in X-Factor was shocking to like see what happened to Angel and all the stuff that we just talked about of the X-Men dying in Dallas and then Cypher getting killed on that weird island with Dr. Moreau Island. And then from there to go into Inferno.
Inferno.
That was really fucked up. Like the weird, like kind of rapey sex scene between Dazzler and Longshot, like when like on the ground during a battle.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird. And just like all the, that was an era where there was so much violent death in the X-Men. And I think that that's why it's gotten.
And it hit harder because other than Jean Grey, no one was coming back.
Right.
It meant something if someone died.
It was all very bloody. It was all very, very, very bloody. Just boom, 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 like three stories in a row. and I think the other shocking ones, they're always Brian Hitch drawing them. I think the original Authority with Warren Ellis and Brian Hitch was just like, first of all, a gay couple on the team, basically a Superman and a Batman just winding up being a couple. Like what
is that? Marvel?
No, that was
read that.
Authority was Image.
Image? I didn't read that.
Yeah, it was fantastic. You got to go back and read that 12 issue run of the Authority. And then that was basically the same thing that just led right into the Ultimates, the original run of the Ultimates, where you've got fucking like little Hank Pym crawling out of Janet Van Dyne's wee-wa.
What?
He just went spelunking in her poop shoosh.
Wait, let's rewind a second because I didn't read that.
There was
a part where Hank Pym was inside her her butt? No. Or her vagina.
Those are my words for vagina. You cut to Janet like writhing on a bed and you're like, what is going on? She's not touching herself.
It was a consensual sex scene.
Yeah.
Instead of him slapping her in the Ultimate Universe, he jumps in her vagina.
No, but he does in the Ultimate Universe. It's horrible what he does to her. he just like beats the shit out of her for pages and pages. Yeah. I don't know. Oh. There was a time, man.
And then Hank Pym is gone in the, he's a piece of crap in the Marvel Universe now. He's Ultron.
He's half Ultron.
He's half Ultron.
What's your most shocking moment or run?
I would have to say hands down, it just comes to me immediately, is the culmination of the Siren Madrox baby story in X-Factor.
Oh my God, that.
And it was funny because Peter David, the one thing I love Peter David, but the one thing that he does that's annoying is he writes these kind of, like instead of the recaps, he always like writes little personal messages.
Yeah, who cares?
And he would, and he wrote, like, coming in the next issues is going to be one of the biggest shocking moments.
Yep, I remember that.
In comic book history. And I was like, shut the fuck up, whatever. And yeah, I was whatever. Like, whatever, whatever. No, it was.
It was.
Like, he fucking duped me over. When Siren, because Siren was pregnant for like 2 years.
A long time.
For a long time.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole thing of like all this other shit is going on. And then finally everything, Madrox's shitty life starts coming together. He finally realizes how much he loves Siren. They're having this baby. She goes into labor. He goes to visit her. They're going to get married. Like it's the most wonderful, romantic, happy moment. Do you want to hold the baby? She hands him the baby. He absorbs the baby like one of his dupes.
It just, you're left with the same reaction as her. Like, what the fuck just happened?
And she's just like, what the fuck just happened? And then that's how it ends.
Well, she breaks and you're his like, finger.
I don't think she, does she break his finger in that issue?
Oh, I thought.
Or is it in the next issue?
I thought it was like right away. Maybe not. But fuck.
Like that baby, it just gets sucked into him immediately.
Yeah.
And it was really, he just fucked a dupe in her, which made it seem like he can't have children.
Yeah.
It was the dupe.
It was the dupe's baby.
It was because he made a dupe and slept with Monet and Siren. And because Siren slept with the dupe, her baby was also a dupe. So he just sucked it back in. Oh, that's brilliant.
Oh, it was
so brilliant.
Good. So
that
good.
Fucked me up.
Yeah.
That fucked me up when that happened. Yeah. That was good. And then
good
I would say the other most shocking moment was Invincible when you find out the dad is the bad guy.
Damn.
Because they really set him up as such this big hero that you just did not see it coming that he actually was the big bad. So, yeah.
Shocking.
And I think these moments are so shocking that if you read it, you'll still enjoy it, even though we spoiled it for you. I just heard a gasp from you. Either you sat on a dildo or you thought of another one.
No, I did not. I was reacting to all of the shocking moments that we had just talked about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't think of like a good twist. I'm like just text you at some point and be like, oh, I know the twist. But I don't know. I thought Angel dating Husk was pretty shocking. I'll end it there. Because he hit on Laura. He hit on Wolverine in the last issue. And I'm like, buddy, I don't know how old she's supposed to be, but.
Wait, old Angel?
Yeah.
But isn't Wolverine sleeping with young Angel?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, they're dating. Or no, they broke up.
Maybe that was young Angel.
Because she was too violent. Yeah. Well, did he have fire wings or metal wings? Or regular wings?
Regular.
Oh, that's the older Angel.
Yeah, and he was like, I can just fly her there. You know I love flying with you. I'm like, ew! I was shocked.
That's weird, though, that it's like, hey, my younger self put it in you. Maybe I can, too.
Yeah.
That's strange.
There's something. This doppelganger stuff is bringing out some weird psychology in some of our favorite characters.
Yeah.
It's got to
stop. Yeah, it's strange. But Bloodstorm is dead.
Bloodstorm
and I think we
is dead.
End there.
We have reasons to rejoice. She's not dead. She's going to be in like in some sort of chamber with liquid in it, with like tubes coming out of her face in Mojo's office. I guarantee.
No, it. I'm going to go and drink a 40, and to Bloodstorm and celebrate that she's dead, hopefully forever.
Bloodstorm, we hardly knew you, but we knew we didn't want you. All right, let's wrap it up there.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so, so much for listening to Comic Book Queers. I hope we didn't shock you too much today with all of our talk about shocking moments in comics. But if you were shocked into, I don't know, wanting to rate us on iTunes or on the podcast app on your phone, you can do that. Just take your trembling, startled finger over to that fifth star and give us a good old rating.
Yeah, if just wipe away the tears that fell onto the screen and then click on five stars.
That's right. Thank you so much for listening. Again, you can always tweet at us at Comic Book Queers if you want to suggest a book or maybe a topic or a character that you would like us to talk about or make fun
yes.
of or bitch about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and remember, if you like comics, that makes
you queer. We're getting there.
We're never going to get it.
Never going to get it. Never going to get it.
Get it, never going to get it.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.